Once you break your heart, you're so embarrassed. And that embarrassment is a critical ingredient now in the only path that you have open in front of you.
Wherever you get your podcasts from, or our own website, prismoftorah.org. This is The Prism of Torah with Rabbi Asaf Aharon Prisman.
Shalom uvocha to everyone. This week's Parsha, Parshas Shmini. We know the first pasuk of the Parsha says, Vayibayom HaShmini, and Moshe called to Aharon, etc., etc. Rashi over there says, what's Shmini? What does it mean, the eighth day? It means it was the eighth day of the inauguration of Aharon and his sons into the Kehuna. Goes on in Rashi to say, and the day was the first day of the month of Nisan. That's when the Mishkan was put up. And the same day, there were Eser Atarot. It took the 10 crowns that are recounted in Seder Olam. Now, what are those 10 crowns? The Chazal tell us in the Gemara and Shabbos. The 10 crowns taken by the first of Nisan of that year were the first day of creation, the first day of the offerings brought by the princes and the tribes, etc. of the Shvatim, the first day of the Kehuna by Aharon and his sons, the first day of the Mizbeach service, etc., etc. But the first one seems very odd. What do you mean that the crown, meaning the first day of creation, was on that day? Not really. The first day of creation was way before that. So someone answer, yeah, it was the first day, it was on a Sunday. But that's not the simple understanding. Lechora, it is on that day that this event happened, but it's not true. It happened way before. That's question number one. Question number two, there's a very interesting midrash on the pasuk Vayavo Moshe v'Aaron el Oel Moed. When Aaron and Moshe came to Oel Moed, Aaron got very upset and sad and embarrassed because he saw that all the sacrifices were being brought and all Klal Yisrael did exactly what Hashem commanded them to do, and yet they didn't feel the divine presence, i.e. the Shechina did not dwell amongst them. Aaron was very embarrassed because he realized this is coming after Chet Egel. And he felt like it was because of me. He says, "Bishvili lo yarda Shechina l'Yisrael." It's because of me. And he told Moshe, "Why did you embarrass me to force me to come with you here? I'm very embarrassed." Eventually, the Shechina came down. But in the same midrash, it says the following: that the 7 days, the Shiva Yemei Miluim, that Moshe acted as the Kohen Gadol before Aaron came into play, which is now on the eighth day, the Shechina indeed didn't come down. And all of Klal Yisrael were very embarrassed. And they told Moshe, what is this? We worked so hard to create the Mishkan. We all gave so much of our belongings. Donations we gave for the Mishkan. We worked so hard to build it. So Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, this is what Hashem was mitzavik, commanded us. And don't worry, you'll see Kvod Hashem. The Midrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu says, Aaron, my brother, is more important than me. And it's through his sacrifices and his avodah that eventually the Shechina will dwell upon us. And you will see through that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose him and not me. And in the Midrash, it's alluding to the fact that because Aaron was embarrassed that he was able to bring the Shechina down. And it seems like he was more important than Moshe Rabbeinu. And we have to understand, what is this idea of being embarrassed so important in Avodas Hashem? And more than that, how can we say that Aaron, how did Moshe say that Aaron was more important than Moshe Rabbeinu? We know, Lo kam navi b'Yisrael k'Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was on the highest level. And the biggest raya to that is, who was the leader when we got the Torah? Moshe Rabbeinu. And over there, Bnei Yisrael reached the highest level. They got to such incredible levels. All the Giluim they saw, the seven Rekim opened up for them, and they realized, Enoid Milvadoi. It was such a high level of the Shechina. Over there, we didn't need any busha. We didn't need any element of embarrassment. So why over there, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to do the job, and over here in the sacrifices, it was only Aaron that could bring down the Shechina to dwell in the Mishkan? So we'll begin with answering the first question. The first question we raised is, how can you tell me what one of the crowns that we Klal Yisrael got on the first day, on the eighth day, which is the first day of Nisan, that the Mishkan was put up, was also the creation of the world? That's not true. So based on that question, the Nesivos HaShalom brings down the Kedushas Levi. The Kedushas Levi explains the very, very famous Machloikis. There are two opinions when the world was created. Was it created in the first day of Nisan, or was it created on the first day of Tishrei? Lichora, it's Pashat that physically speaking, the world was created on the first day of Tishrei. And he says they're not really arguing about physically what happened. But when something is done, there is the actual action that was done, and there's the reasoning for what it was done. And that, machloikis, is what is more important for us to commemorate. I.e., everyone holds on the first day of Tishrei, the world was created physically. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it. However, says the Kedushas Levi, what was the purpose that the world was created? The purpose was for Klal Yisrael, Bereishis, famous Midrash, Bishvil Reishis, which is Israel, that were called Reishis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world for us, to learn Torah and to do mitzvahs. The whole setup of the world was for us. And hence, that was the real reason Hashem created the world. Ah, so we should commemorate the creation of the world for its purpose. And its purpose is a Nisan, when we were let out of Mitzrayim, that we're going to commemorate on the Heilige Day of Pesach. And that is when we should commemorate the reason Hashem created the world, because that is the reason Hashem created the world, even though physically speaking it was created on the first day of Tishrei. Says the Heilige Nesivos Shalom, based on that, I can also answer our question. Harei, there are so many Chazals that tell us the following. In Midrash Rabbah, it says, Nis'av HaKadosh Baruch Hu liyos lo dira batachtoinim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu yearned to have a dwelling over here with us, in our world, Olam HaAsiya. And when was this thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was yearning to the Shekhinah to dwell amongst us? That only manifested itself right now when we put the Mishkan up, which was on Nisan. And hence, also now we can see from the Mishkan's perspective that the Shekhinah eventually dwelled. That is the first time it properly dwelled amongst us. And that is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was yearning for it to happen. The world was created as a means for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be able to reside within us and with us. And that is what happened based on the Midrash we mentioned earlier in Nisan. The Shekhinah was yearned to be in the Tachtoinim with us. And that was the tachlis of Ratzon Hashem in Maase Bereishis. As we already know, we spoke a lot, V'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'soicham. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be together with the Shekhinah. There's another Midrash Rabbah that alludes to the same idea. And it says, Rishon l'briyaso shel oilom, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's talking about the eighth day for the inauguration of the Mishkan, i.e. when we started bringing the sacrifice in the Mishkan, the first day of Nisan. It's as if I created the world on this day. Why? Because the purpose is fulfilled on this day. Mimele, we answer the first question. We see the importance and the main reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world is for us, a setup for Klal Yisrael to do Torah and mitzvahs. Open brackets, that's why it's Me'ilah. If we don't use this world for the purpose, Hashem created the world for us to do Torah and mitzvahs, which is the mechanism by which the divine presence is brought down over here. And that is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world for. And for us, of course, to have Olam Haba and freedom of choice. Now we have to go on to answer the second question. What is the idea of being embarrassed for in order for the Shekhinah to dwell in the Mishkan? And why is it only fitting for Aaron and not Moshe Rabbeinu? So for that, says Nesivos HaShalom, an unbelievable idea that is very important for all of us and will help us deflect the negative impact that the Yetzer Hara is trying to have on us. He brings down the following, that there's actually two different Mahalchim in Avodas Hashem. And that was the difference between Moshe and Aaron. But every Yid has both. And that's why it's very applicable to all of us. There is path number one, that when a person is always immersed in Avodas Hashem, Torah and Mitzvahs, and he realizes the godless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's one way. That's, you keep going up and up. That was the Malach Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's why he was the one most fitting for Kabbalah Satorah. When Klal Yisrael got the Torah, they were on a very high level. But there's another way. And that is when a person sins, which we know most of us do, and Tzadik Ba'aretz Asher Yaseh Tov V'lo Yechtah, it's almost impossible not to sin. Then you can't just say, oh, everything's fine, let's continue moving up in our Avodas Hashem. No, it's Kilayim. You can't have a sin and a mitzvah at the same time. And therefore, there's path number two. And that was, once you break your heart, you're so embarrassed. And that embarrassment is a critical ingredient now in the only path that you have open in front of you. Then you have to have embarrassment. And through that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that you're so upset and embarrassed of what you did and you want to start from scratch. And that is the unbelievable nes that Hashem created, that we have tshuva. We have the kli, the mechanism through tshuva to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the path, midas tshuva. Says the Admor Mislonim Zatzal, this is even hinted in the fact in what happened in the Mishkan. It says, Bayoim HaShmini. The hint is that the Shmini is The midah of the eighth midah, if you count it from bottom up, from Malchus upwards, is Bina. And we know Bina, and we won't get into the details right now, but Bina directly implies tshuva. And that is exactly what the Mishkan represented. As we all know, the Mishkan came to repent, to atone for the sin of the Chet HaEgel. Moshe Rabbeinu had no shaychus to the sin. But Aaron, on his level, of course, his cheshbon was for Avodas Hashem, but he felt like he was going to save them and just buy time when he said to them, give me the gold, etc. But at the end of the day, it didn't go his way. So he did have shaychus to the sin on a very little level, but he had shaychus to the sin. And therefore, he was embarrassed. And that embarrassment was a critical ingredient that only he could bring the Shekhinah, because now the Mishkan was there to atone for the sin of Chet HaEgel that Aaron was shaykh to. And hence, from this perspective, Aaron was greater than Moshe, because Moshe wasn't shaykh to this malach of tshuva. This fits beautifully what Reb Chaim Vital says on the pasuk, Vayomer Moshe l'Aaron, karev el ha-mizbeach. Moshe told Aaron, it's you, we need you, go to the mizbeach. And Chazal said that Aaron was embarrassed and was scared to come close because he saw an image of the Egel. Moshe said to him, Lama tabosh? Don't worry. This is lechach nivchalta. It's exactly because you're embarrassed and you were part of the sin to a certain extent that you were chosen for this avoida. Because the gate to these korbanos is the ingredients of busha. Based on this, we understand very well why the Mahalach of the Mishkan represents the Malach of Tshuva that we all need to be familiar with, because we all sin at the end of the day. And it's an important and critical ingredient to be embarrassed. And perhaps that is what Chazal tell us, that sometimes this path you can only do after you have a Yerida. Yerida l'shem Aliyah. But afterwards, you grow from it. And indeed, the Shekhinah came, after Aaron came to do the sacrifices on this first day, the Shekhinah came down. Because that was the Mahalach. So we have In summary, two different malachim. We have the malach of just going up in Avodas Hashem, free of sin. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu represented. And we have the other malach of through tshuva, breaking our hearts, being embarrassed. That's Moshe and Aaron, but every yid has both of them in him. And we have to realize that both are paths to be Avodas Hashem. So don't let the Yetzer Hara deflect your Avodas Hashem and say, you sinned, what are you worth? No. Leverage off of that sin, because you can grow even more through that, through a new path. Nesivas HaShalom says a very deep concept. He says, just like when you plant a seed, it all rots, except for a little bit over there that stays, and from that is what grows the actual tree. Which, by the way, Chazal compared this to Tchias HaMeisim, that everything rots except for the bone, the loose bone, and through that, Tchias HaMeisim will happen. And the way you feed that bone is through Su'udas David HaMelech, which is Melav HaMalka. That's why it's so imperative that we all have Melav HaMalka. That is what feeds and sustains that bone. But over here, the Nesiv Shalom brings it and says that when you plant a seed and becomes the tree, first it totally rots, and what's left is what he calls Kusta Dechayusa. That is the little bit that stays, and from that, a new growth starts. And that is what he says also with the sin. A sin, after you break your heart and you're so embarrassed what you did, it all disintegrates. And the only thing that's left there is what gives you the ability to break your heart and to be embarrassed. And through that, you regrow to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is precisely what the Mishkan represents. Yi Ratzon, that we're able to have in front of us these two paths to Hashem. One is always to try to get higher and higher in something. And the other path is, if Chas V'Shalom we fall at some point, in some mitzvah, in some aveira, we should never give up hope. But rather, we should feel bad about what we did, which we know that is the basic, one of the basic steps that Rambam brings down in tshuva. We have to regret the past and regrow for the future and get close to Hashem. And that too can bring the Shekhinah down. That is the lesson of the day from the Mishkan. And that's what only Aaron was shayach to that, from that perspective. I would like to end off with a story of someone I actually personally know. He's in the yeshiva I taught. And for some reason, he came up to me one day, this is already a year ago, and he confessed to me about all kinds of sins he did in the past. And he then told me that there was a point in time in his life where he was with his family in the beach and he saw someone drowning. And he says, even though it was very dangerous, he said, and his father didn't want him to do it, but he just felt, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to save this boy. And at that point, for some reason, he told me he regretted all the sins he did and he said, that's it. I am going to make a change. And this action I'm going to take is going to help me leverage off of this and make me feel good about myself and I want to get closer to Hashem. And indeed, he pretty much risked his life and he went out to the crazy crashing waves. I'm not going to get into all the details. There were many rocks in the water over there. And he managed to save this little boy. He got him out of the water. He was all scratched up, but through the miracle of adrenaline, he persevered and it didn't bother him at the time. And Bemet, that was a turning point in his life. We all don't need to save a little boy from drowning to be able to make that switch. The secret ingredient is just to be embarrassed. And through the tshuva and lev, that embarrassment, it could be a major turning point for us and regrowth, just like the seed of a plant that rots and the new growth comes out of that seed. Have a good Shabbat.
This concludes another episode of the Prism of Torah. Thank you for tuning in today. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something valuable. If you did, please subscribe to the podcast and give a 5-star rating. You can also find this podcast wherever you get your podcasts or our own website, prismofterror.com, where we have a full archive of all our past episodes. We would like to thank Yonah Vefa for the recording equipment and Ellie Podcast Productions for handling all our post-podcast productions. Join us next week for another enlightening conversation on the Prism of Torah.